Awesome. You know what, church, I'm a bit undone at the moment. I think, other than a daughter of the King, I find my identity in being a worshipper. I was talking to the youth on Friday and I was saying, you know, worship is a place of adoration. It's a place where we get to adore the King. It's personal. It's face to face. Sometimes in my face more than others. And it's a place where it's so personal and so intimate where you can whisper into his ear. And most of the time he whispers back. And this morning I was $2. This morning I was just so undone. And I was just sitting on the front and just weeping and weeping. Because I suppose that this has probably been a really hard season of my life. I've had a few. And they have a good way of just knocking me down. But this one's been a biggie too. And you know what? It's funny because, you know, I was preparing for my wedding and normally it just kind of all comes together. This one didn't, of course. Praise Jesus. And, you know, so I was on the phone to a few of my nearest and dearest. And quite late last night and I went over to see my mum and to pick up Harlan. She was hanging with Tans. And like, before walking in, I was like, God, you know, I should be at home. I should be, you know, I should be in, like, getting this down. You know, it just makes me feel better. He doesn't really care how I feel in that regard. But it makes me feel a lot better and a lot calm. And so, you know, I was just, like, saying that to him. And he's so awesome. He's so cool. And as I'm saying that to him, he goes, you know what, baby? Tomorrow we're just going to paint a picture and we're just going to dance, you and I. I was undone. Anyway, I'm driving to church this morning and I'm just saying this because I just want to talk about how awesome he is. I'm driving to church this morning and I drive down Grand Parade I drive down it every day nearly. And anyway, we stop at the lights, and I have an issue with that road on a Sunday morning because there's cyclists everywhere. And so, you know, it's a bit of road rage on a Sunday morning. And so I'm driving down. Anyway, we stop, and I contribute it to them. And I'm sitting there, and I turn to the side, and I look across the road, and there's this, like, a senior man. Don't want to, you know, he's graying. And he's standing there with like an easel and he's painting. And I'm like, you're insane. Like, you know? And I just said a couple of them, I'm like, take a photo. But all my cyclist mates were in the way. And yeah, thank you, Jesus. But I'm like, that is insane. And God's just like reveals and he's just like, I mean what I say. And I say what I mean. Ah, he's so cool. That's just an extra. You know, on Friday, Nads and I went to a Spirit Fire conference. Yeah. It was like that too. It was insane. I'm like, these Christians are next level, you know. Anyway, we're sitting there, and this guy says something that just means everything to me. And he goes, the Holy Spirit, you can't contain the Holy Spirit to the Bible. Okay, before you get your theologian craziness out, I'm not dissing the Bible. I love the word. But But he said, you can't contain the Holy Spirit to just the Bible. And he done this amazing analogy, and I want to share it this morning. He said, look, you know, like for instance, if I was to sit down with Brian Houston and we'll talk about Live, Love, Lead, his book. Yeah, we know that one. And he was to start spitting out all the stuff about leading. I can't sit there and say, well, you didn't write that in your book. So therefore, you can't really say that. Or if he talks about the way that we live and it's not written in his book, I can't question him on the way that he lives his life, especially we know who he is, right? Or the way that, if he starts talking about the way that he loves, I can't question that because he's doing it. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just wants to do things just because he is who he is, and we can't contain that. And when he was saying this, it was just washing a new, fresh thing in my spirit. And I needed it in this moment, in this particular moment, because I needed to come face to face with the person of the Holy Spirit in a new way. My girl, Deb, shared a verse with me, and I want to share it this morning. It's Revelations 12:11. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. This morning, I really just want to share what God's put on my heart. You know what? If you're friends with me on Facebook, you know that I have a photo of the day. Amen. Do we know that? Yeah? Okay, cool. You know, and like my youth kids are the best because they pose for me and they say, you know, was that photo of the day? And they're the best, you know. Anyway, at the start of the year, 2nd of January, I was walking to the shop with Kappa, and I remember it instantly God dropped in my heart. He goes, you know what, baby? You're exactly where I need you. I know you don't get this season, you don't get this part, but you're exactly where I want you, where you are right now. And so I wrote this elaborate title for, Photo of the Day 2016, and I was pumped for 2016 because I follow all these awesome revivalists and prophets and, you know, other crazy Holy Spirit stuff. And this one lady in particular, Kat Kerr, she's talking about, like, for years now, I've been following her for around 4 years. For years now, she's been talking about how 2016 is like kingdom age and all this and that. And I've been hearing it from other speakers and other prophets and stuff like that. So coming to 2016, I'm like done with 2015. Yeah, amen. 1st of January 2016, I'm like, it's a new me. It's a new day. You know, I don't even need the gym. I'm good. You know, it's new. It's fresh. So I'm in this 2016, and I write this elaborate caption for my album, and I say something to the effect of 2016 is a year that God's going to show his favor and just be amazingly abundant. And this album, like my Photo of the Day album, is going to hold testimony to that. So, anyway, 2016's been tough. It's been a tough year. And every time I look back over this album, I can get to March, but after March, I normally like looking at my photos because it's awesome. I can say, oh, that was a good day. That, you know, just seeing the little remnants of God's awesomeness every day. But I get to March, and I kind of have to just stop. I can't keep looking. And anyway, in March, and I shared this a few weeks ago when I preached and just about the, you know, just the tough year it's been. And, you know, and praise Jesus, like in that moment, I was just like, yeah, ready to go, I'm going to take on the world anyway. You know, screw that, rah, rah, rah. You know, but if I was being honest, especially where I'm at now, 2016 has done a number on me, like big time. And, you know, I mean, those that don't know, my Nana's sister passed away in March, and she was extremely close to us. And then in April, our hoodie died. And then in May, my Nana died, who was my bestest friend. And then like a couple of months after that, a couple of weeks after that, my grandfather, who was her husband, moved back to New Zealand. And so I've lived 26 years of my life with them in it constantly and very overwhelmingly, to having nothing of that sense. And then a couple of weeks ago, our little Leggies passed away, and me and Leggies weren't that tight. But, you know, but like she meant a lot to us. Our Leggies, by the way, is a guinea pig. Yeah, sorry. But, you know, Leggies it was just an end of an era when she passed away. You know, I looked at her and I saw Hoodie, I saw good times, because she, you know, she would hang around with us. You know, we hang out with our pets. And you know, things just started crumbling. And then, you know, and then there were little things that were happening in my life that just weren't adding up. And, you know, things that were just downfalls. And slowly but surely, I built up these huge walls of bitterness and just literally just blocking out the Father. And it didn't happen straight away, but it happened over a period of time where I was just like, you know what? I get it. I get you're good. I get it. I get that you're there. But right now, me and you, I'm just done a bit, you know? Anyone else ever feel like that? You know, I'm just done. I get that you're good. And, you know, and I've got friends that you would tell me, you know, but God's so good. And he is. I'm not questioning that. But right now, his good doesn't equal my good. But it's good anyway, and it's just anyway. But right now, I don't get it. I don't get I don't get anything. And so these massive walls went up where I just literally didn't read my word, was not praying, was not communing with him, was not meeting with him. We weren't chilling. And that's just where this season led me. It's going back to Friday. So we go to this, you know, spirit fire thing, me and Nads. And anyway, this guy's preaching and like out of nowhere, I felt like this surging in my arms and in my legs. Anyway, and then instantly he stops what he's doing and he says, if you feel power in you right now, if you feel a surging, come to the front. I'm like, yo. And so, you know, so I just drop everything and me and Nads just run up to the front. Of course, Nads is feeling it. You know, I love her. But, you know, we went to a prophetic, this is a side note, we went to a prophetic worship night and this was in the thick of my, you know, thing with God. And I was driving, and this is true, this is so true. And I was driving to her house and I was like, Father, if you reveal something to her and not to me, I will know you're playing favorites. You know, sometimes it's just like that. And I was like, because, you know, this chick just, she's just one hundy, you know? So anyway, we run up to the front and we're standing there and we're just, you know, in the presence. And I'm just still. I'm just standing. And we're kind of in the middle. Like, I was literally like standing there in this stage. And there's like 70 of us, hey girl, like 70 of us all up there. And so I'm just like standing there and Nads is right next to me and I can feel her going for it. And I'm like, God, you know I need this. You know I need this. And, you know, I'm just saying that to him. Anyway, this guy walks around and he's awesome. And he like puts his hand he's putting hands on people's heads and people are just falling left, right, and center. One chick went flying. I kid, like, I'm serious about that. I literally saw her leave the floor and fly a good, like, you know, from here to Luke. It was insane. And, you know, and there was just other people manifesting. There was like, you know, people look like they're having fits and, you know, it was awesome. It was screaming. It was crazy. And I'm just standing there, like, right in the middle and just like, God, like, are you there? Are you, me and you cool. That was my the way that I was even approaching him. Like, you need to understand my season. And so I'm standing there and I'm, you know, that's happening. And then, you know, he touches girl and girl just goes flopping on the ground, doing her thing. She's the man. And then I'm just there. And then he puts his hand on me and I'm like, nothing. And he just keeps on walking. And I'm just standing there. I'm like, yo, what's up? You know, and I was just like, you know what, God? Instantly I was reminded of who he was. And it reminded me of who I am. And I said to him, you know, Father, you've forever been faithful to me, even though I don't want to accept that sometimes, because I don't get your faithfulness. But you know what, in this moment, even though I feel like this, even that though this is the season that you meet me in, I'm going to be faithful. And I'm just going to stand here, and I'm just going to receive whatever you want to give. And I opened my eyes, literally, was the only one standing, and like, you know, there's just craziness all around me, and it represents my season that I've been in. You know, where I've just been standing still, sometimes sitting. I was telling Nats the other day, you know, we're not, you know, how we're in a race, I'm just like, I'm just going to take a seat, you know? You know, people, you know, God's like, you know, we're running the race. Now I'm just like, I'm chilling on the sideline just for a bit. I can't deal with you right now, you know? Can't deal with the coach at the moment. So I'm just going to have a seat. And that's kind of, it was such a representation of how I've been and what this season finds me in. And so I'm just standing there and I'm just receiving. And, you know, God spoke to me and I was like, yes. And, you know, he always speaks, yeah? I'm just not listening. And he said to me in that moment, he said, you know, baby, I'm brewing in you. I'm doing a brewing in you. I'm like, oh, that's new. Love that. And he says, I want to bring you back to your first love. Growing up, I'm extremely aware of how loved I am. Like, extremely. Because I've got a dad who loves me extravagantly. Like, overwhelmingly loves me. So I never question that. You know, my dad loves me. It's unapologetically, even when I just, you know, as a kid, wanted him to just chill, you know. And there's not many conversations that we've had where it hasn't started and ended with, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. Because this is my dad. And I didn't realize that not everyone has that kind of relationship with a dad. But this is the relationship that we had. And my dad would, like, show me the way that he loves me in so many forms. He, you know, carry me from the car. He'd do all that stuff, but he'd also do fun stuff. And, like, at the end of the night, he would tuck us in. It was dad that tucked us in. And he would, like, say, sometimes he would do stories. He'd, like, do awesome stories. And like, I used to have a blanket at the end of my bed. And that would, like, turn into anything he wanted it to be. So one night it was like a king's robe. Another night it was like David's slingshot. Another night it would be like a horse. Another night it would be like a throwing sword. And, you know, and Dad would just like, you know, he would just, and he'd always say to me, you know, baby, I love you. But, you know, and I remember him saying it, and we're living in Rockdale at the time, and he said, you know, baby, I love you, but God loves you more. And to me, I just couldn't contain that. I couldn't understand that. Because as far as I was concerned, no one loved me more than my dad. He just loved me that much, and he was so lavish with it. My family, as most of you know, my family, they're all pastors. My grandfather, he founded the church that I was raised in, and my parents are pastors. My dad was the associate pastor growing up. My aunties and uncles, they're all pastors. My brother is a great leader, and, you know, he leads worship so well. And you know, and also, and my sister, she's a leader. She's a leader and a gatherer, amen. And so are my cousins. So I've grown up in this family where we're all Christians, you know, Christians. And, but when I was 16, there was a particular day that me and some of you don't know my testimony, so I pray you receive it this morning. When I was 16, me and my mum, we were in the kitchen, and my dad walks in, and we're waiting for him, and I knew that this was a moment that was going to test that love that I had felt every single day, had grown up with, and had been just overwhelmed with. I knew that this moment would test it, and in myself, I just felt like it was done. And I remember my dad walking through the door, and my mum's turning to him, being like, "Babe, you know, Bobby's got to share something with you." And I was like, scared. And Dad walks up to me, and he can see the terror in my face. And so his face is just like, what's going on? And, you know, and I look at him, I go, "Dad, I'm pregnant. I want to introduce you to another person, another amazing lady." And you can find her in the scriptures. And this is a Bubby remix, so just go with it, okay? She's found in John 8. You know, one day she wakes up, and it's a new, beautiful day. And she wakes up, and she's excited about the day. And then she looks down, and she realizes that she's wearing another man's shirt. It's all buttoned up, and everything looks. And you see, the owner of this shirt loves his wife deeply. You know, he is a husband. He is a father. He is a provider. It's just he's not her husband. He's not her provider, not her baby's daddy. And she turns over, and there he is laying next to her. She gets out of the bed. She goes into the kitchen. She sits at the table. And once again, for the billionth time, is sitting there and just crying out to the Father, "You know what? I'm a mess. I don't know why I keep doing this. Why do I keep doing this? Why am I always here? Why do I put myself in this position? I just love this man. He's never going to leave his wife, but I love him anyway, and I'll do this anyway. But I need your help. I need your help." Instantly, the door bursts open, and men come in, grab her, drag her down the street. And all she's got on is this shirt. And she's being dragged down this gravel street. And I just imagine her shirt being all ripped up. Because in the word it says that she was caught in the act of adultery. I mean, what kind of mind do you have to spy on someone and to make sure the act is being caught so that we can do this? Do you know what I mean? It's sick. Anyway, they're dragging her down the street. Her shirts are ripped up. I just see like her legs being ripped up, because no one in their right mind who's in that position, who feels that amount of guilt, that amount of just disgust, self-disgust, would ever openly walk out of the house like that. You hear what I'm saying? She was dragged out of there, kicking and screaming and thrown before this man. And I just see her, and she's just there and just grabbing this shirt, and she's just pulling it over herself, trying to cover herself the best way she can. And she looks up, and she sees this man who she's heard about, the Jesus guy. And who knows that when you are in the middle of sin, the last place you feel that you want to be is in front of Jesus. And there she is, hiding, trying to hide her face, dirt all over her body. And then she hears the voice of a man, and he says, "You know, we've caught her in the act of adultery. What do you have to say?" And I love Jesus' response. And she's sitting there, and she's like, "Yo, they're going to kill me." And instead, she's just sitting there, and then Jesus turns around and says, if anyone hasn't sinned, you throw the first stone." So it's beautiful. In the word, they said that one by one, they walked away. One by one. But in that moment, Jesus kneels down And he starts writing on the ground. And I love it. And he starts writing. And it's like this weird thing that like scholars and theologians have like debated on for years about what he wrote. But you know what? I believe that as he knelt down and he started writing on the floor, you see, the only person that could really see it was her because she was on the floor. And I believe that instantly she was just writing, I love you. I love you. I love you over and over. And I say this not to challenge your theology or whatever. I really don't care. But I say this because time and time again, when my heart has been covered in dirt, Jesus continues to write on my heart, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. I love you, baby. And in this moment, when I'm face to face with my dad, and those words leave my mouth, and I never in a million years would be thought I would ever be pregnant at 16. I wasn't going to be that girl. And I came face to face with my dad, and I just never forget. He instantly grabbed me. He wrapped his arms around me just like he's always done since I was born. And he said, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. I love you, baby. And I'll never forget that. And in that moment, I came face to face with the Father's love, where I was totally undone. When I realized that his love goes before me and it goes behind me. There's a verse in Isaiah where it says that he is your rear guard. Like literally, he's got your back. Oh, praise Jesus for that verse. And this morning as I was waking up and I was reading myself, I heard the Father say, baby, all of heaven backs you. You are not by yourself in this. And you know what, church, I don't know what season you're in. And I share all of this to not, I'm pretty real. You know, I don't mind like sharing where I'm at and what's up with that because, you know, God's good. But the Father's been brewing in my heart a love that exceeds all else. And last night, I just like instantly, God dropped in my heart this song. And I'm going to ask Sammy to come up because we're going to sing. I finished on time, yay. I'm just going to grab the stand because I want to worship. Some people need Jesus more than others. Oh, we serve a faithful God. He's fun. There we go. Okay. All right. Church, I just want to minister and worship over you guys. And I just pray that, you know what, this song has pulled me out of some hard seasons in my life, which is why I wanted to share it this morning. I just want you guys to close your eyes because I just want this to be a moment of you and God.
You steady me, slow and sweet, we sway, take the lead and I will follow. Finally ready to close my eyes and just believe that you won't lead me where you don't go. When my faith gets tight and my hope seems lost, you spin me round and around and remind me of that song. This one you wrote for me, and we dance. Oh, we dance. To pick up my sword and fight for love. Little did I know that love had won for me. Here in your arms, you steal my heart again, and I breathe you in like I've never breathed till now. My faith gets tight, my hope seems lost. You spin me round and around and remind the one you wrote for me, and we dance. Oh, we dance. Oh, we dance, we dance, we dance, we dance, we dance. Oh, we dance, you and me. And I will lock eyes with the one who's ransomed me, the one who gave me joy for morning. And I will lock eyes with the one who's chosen me, the one who set my feet to dancing. Oh, and I will lock eyes with the one who ransomed me, the one who saved me joyful morning. Oh, set my feet to death. Sing, we dance. Oh, we dance. Oh, we dance. We dance. We dance. We dance. We dance. We dance. Oh. Just you and me. It's nice to know I'm not alone. I found my home here in your arms. It's nice to know I'm not alone. It's nice to know I'm not alone. I found my home here in your arms. It's nice to know I'm not alone. I found my home here in your arms.
Two, there we go. You know, church, I just want to pray over you. Just close your eyes. Maybe this is the first time that you've ever collided with God's love. Or maybe you've collided with it before, but you've walked away just like I have numerous times. But I believe this morning that He's beckoning people back to His arms. He's beckoning people back home. And this morning I want to offer an extension.